feel free to find a seat and make yourself comfortable. Hey, Regen, my name is Dave. I have a new life in Christ, and I am in recovery from PTSD, pornography, and seeking to find comfort in alcohol. Glad you're here tonight. It's good to start the new year together. I want you to do a mental exercise with me for just a minute. I want you to fill in the blank that's behind me. My life, don't say it out loud, okay? But my life is, you fill in the blank. Maybe you're here tonight and your honest answer would be, I'm here because my life is broken. Maybe tonight you're coming from the space of, my life is sad, my life is unpredictable, my life is complicated, my life is unique. Maybe you're in the difficult place of having to say, my life is tragic. Or maybe you've been here for a little while and you've seen some signs of hope and you would say exactly that tonight. My life is hopeful, my life is changing, my life is growing, my life is spiritual, my life is happy. Here's what's interesting. If you and I were to look in the scriptures exhaustively, the Bible gives us an answer of how we should fill in this blank if we are followers of Jesus, and it's simply this. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, we're Christians, our right answer is my life is Christ. All that I am, all that I think, all that I feel, all that I do is lived in the realm of Christ, and therefore my life is Christ. But what exactly does that mean? And how does that help us as we think through our recovery? Tonight we're going to look at a very small passage of scripture. We're gonna get some things that I think are gonna be very helpful to us. We've entitled this series over the last few weeks, So Great a Salvation. We're focusing on all that God is for us in Jesus. And what we're doing is we're working together collectively, both in the time we have here in large gathering, as we break into small groups. We want to grow as a people who know, love, trust, and obey Jesus. So if you have a Bible, turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. It's most of the way through the New Testament, Galatians chapter 2, we're gonna look at verse 20. If you didn't bring your Bible, we're going to project the text behind me here. If you need a Bible, find anybody with a white nameplate, a Regen white name tag, and ask us, we'll be glad to give you a Bible. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Tonight we're gonna talk about something that people who are Bible scholars and theologians refer to as union with Christ. Here's the big idea. When you and I come into a faith relationship with Jesus, something radical happens. We are united with Christ. We have a union with Christ, and probably the best example we have of this in our own human experience is marriage, right? The Bible presents marriage as one man and one woman coming together, and Jesus calls them one flesh. Two distinct persons, two distinct individuals, but living their life together, united for life until death do us part as one flesh. It's the same concept, although much greater and much more eternal in Jesus. You and I, when we place our faith in Jesus, are united with him. His life is our life. All that we do is lived out in him. We are distinct. He is the head of the body. We are the body. We are separate, and yet we are with him forever. Tonight, I want to look at one very specific aspect of what that is. Before I do that, though, let me give you a simple definition. What does it mean to be united with Christ? It's simply this. God makes his people one with Christ forever. It's good news, isn't it? Thank you for that, amen. It's good news. If you're here tonight, even if your life feels broken, even if it feels out of control, and yet you're in this place where you're leaning in and you're trusting Jesus and you're seeking his help and you're counting on him to make your relationship with God right, you are united with him forever. There's reason to be hopeful tonight. Now, what does it mean to be united with Christ? Here's an example that we see in this passage. When we say we are united with Christ, it basically means that all Jesus does and all Jesus is ours. His life is our life. Practically what it means is when God looks at us, he sees the perfect record of obedience that belongs to Jesus also belonging to us. That's good news. We are righteous before God, not because of what we've done or what we haven't done, but entirely on the perfect record of obedience of Jesus. Ultimately, our Jesus' death is our death, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. His resurrection is our resurrection. We one day will be resurrected with him to live forever. But in this instance, the Apostle Paul writes that he died with Jesus. Specifically, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. In other words, when Paul is saying when Jesus died, so did Paul. And then he says there's two implications of that. He is saying, in essence, it's no longer I who live. Man, that's profound. When I met Jesus, you need to know the Dave that lived his life apart from Jesus, he died with Jesus on the cross. I'm not a better version of the old Dave. I'm not a new and improved version of the old Dave. I'm an entirely different person. That's why when we stand up here, we say we have a new life. Where? In Christ. I'm entirely new. I no longer live anymore because I died with Jesus. But there's also a second thing that's said here. It's not only I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Amen. Jesus is living in us and through us for our good and his glory. What does this have to do with recovery? Why would we even talk about this? Two things I want you to focus on tonight. Two takeaways, two big applications. The first one is this. Jesus died for me so that I might live for God. You realize that? Christian, Jesus died for you so that you might live for God. Jesus died for me so that I might live for God. Jesus died for us so that we might live for God. Jesus didn't die for us simply so that we would punch our ticket to heaven. Jesus didn't die so that you and I could live for ourselves right here and now, counting on one day when this life is over, we'll go to be with him forever. Jesus died so that we would live for God right here, right now. Eternal life is not just a quantity of life, it's forever. Certainly, it's a quality of life, and the quality of life of living life for God, living life in a way with him at the center of our lives. Are you living for God tonight? I'd been a Christian a few years. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Came to faith when I was in middle school, and I was in my high school years. My grandma lived down the street from us. She was a widow, and I loved to go and visit her. She was the spiritual matriarch of our family. She was a godly woman. She was a fascinating woman. And I would come over to her house, and occasionally she would make me lunch in the summertime. It was one of those summer days. I showed up early. We'd watch the History Channel together. She, back in the day, had gotten a brand new cable package. And if you're old enough to remember, it wasn't one of those punch boxes where you punched in the channel, but you actually had a remote and she had hundreds of channels. And I remember sitting with her watching the History Channel. She got up to go make me lunch, went into the kitchen, went in the other room, and I just played through the channels. And I came across a porn channel that was kind of scrambled, but not entirely. And I remember watching that channel for a little bit, kind of looking over my shoulder, thinking, man, I hope she doesn't come in here now. I'm gonna watch this a little bit longer. And then it struck me, what am I doing? What in the world am I doing here and now? You ever had that experience? And for whatever reason, my mind went to the cross and I began to think, this isn't what Jesus died for. Jesus didn't die for me so that I'd live this way, scanning scrambled porn channels in my grandma's house while she made me lunch. Jesus died so that I would live for God right here and now. And imagine the grief in the father's heart when he looks at the death of his son in our lives and it's not having the effect that it was intended to have. Have you ever thought about that? God the Father is pleased with us, Christian, don't get me wrong, because of Jesus, but at the same time, his heart can grieve over the way that we're living our lives. Amen? The Bible warns us not to grieve the Holy Spirit, and it warns Christians that that's the potential that we live in. You and I can simultaneously be pleasing in God's sight because of the performance of Jesus, and yet in our practical daily lives, we can grieve the heart of God. We can minimize the impact of the death of Jesus on our behalf. I have a friend named Joyce. She lost her son in Afghanistan fighting the war there. And I thought about her on August 30th, 2021, when we left Afghanistan and the chaos that followed, and I thought to myself, she must be grieving upon grief today because there's a way in which it would seem to her in her mother's heart that her son's sacrifice was diminished because of the impact his death was having or not having. Imagine the heart of the Father when you and I don't live for God because of what Jesus has done. Are you living for God tonight? Jesus died for us so that we might live for God. How do we live for God? I got good news for you. Glad you asked. Look at the rest of this passage. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Here's how we live for God. But Christ who lives in me, in us. And the life I now live in the flesh, that means in my human body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How do we live out this life? How do we live out all that Jesus is for us in God in a way that it actually results in a life day in and day out that pleases God? We allow Jesus to live through us. How do we do that? We do it by faith. There's a motive here. Do you see it? There's something that should stir us to trust in Jesus. Why trust in him? Why should I put my faith in Jesus? Because he's worthy, according to this text. He's trustworthy. He's reliable. How do we know this? Here's how we know this. He loved us. How do we know he loved us? He died for us. How much more could he love us? I've got an interesting story. I had good parents. I didn't come from a rough background. My parents loved me. They're still alive to this day. They've loved me their whole lives. They cared for me. They provided for me. They sent me to school. They disciplined me when I needed to be disciplined, which was way too often. They gave me an allowance. They provided for my physical needs. Even to this day, they encourage me. They pray for me. You know what my parents have never done? They haven't died for me, and quite honestly, time is running out for them to do that right now. I love my wife. I love my wife, Kara. She loves Jesus more than anybody I've ever met in my life, and I've been glad to spend 36 years of marriage with her, and she's been faithful and kind to me, and she prays for me, and she washes my clothes. She makes my food. She even sleeps with me. Get that. She's wonderful, but you know what she's never done? She's not died for me. She's not died in my place. I have lots of friends and family who love me and are kind to me and encourage me, and I think they do anything for me, but no one has ever died for me other than Jesus. Jesus loves you, and he loves you to the point that he gave himself up for you. He died in your place. Trust him. And by faith, we trust in him, and specifically, that doesn't just mean we believe that he existed in an intellectual way. We lean into him with our heart. We rely on him. We trust him. We ask him to live in us and through us so that we might live a life pleasing to God. I got two friends. I've got more than that, but two I want to talk about tonight. Two friends, Justin, maybe three now even. Justin and Nathan, both come from the same background. Both of them would tell you tonight that they're Christians. They've walked with Jesus for a while, and both of them would say without any sort of hiding that they're porn addicts. Justin is struggling to be set free. He's seen counselors. He's seen therapists. He's been in small groups. He's in all kind of recovery programs and materials. He prays daily. He's got a filter on his internet. He's got a dumb phone instead of a smartphone. He's done everything he can in his own strength to stop looking at porn, but he still does it. And the best he can do is just be honest and transparent about when he falls. Nathan has done all those same things. And yet today, if we were to look at Justin, Justin is still stuck. Nathan has been set free. What's the difference? Jesus is living through Nathan. Jesus' life is emerging from Nathan's life so that he's growing in purity and he's growing in holiness and he's not looking at porn anymore and he's loving his wife well and he's encouraging others. His life is radically transformed. How do you explain the difference between the two? They're both doing the same thing. According to this text, it's because Nathan trusts and lives his life trusting in Jesus, leaning into Jesus. And Justin, for whatever reason, as much as he studies, as much as he tries, he doesn't really understand the power of Jesus' love and presence in his life. May he get there someday. He's not there yet. Here's what could happen at Regen. You could start tonight. You could go through the entire process. You could commence in a little bit over a year or close to a year. You might be in the same group and one person, all the same activities, all the same Bible studies, all the same experiences in small groups, being transparent, being open, all the things that you put in place. One of you may walk away from here free from sin and someone may walk away from here still stuck. How do you explain the difference? It has to do with this concept. It has everything to do with this idea that I died with Jesus, you died with Jesus, we died in Jesus so that he may live in us. How does he live in us? by faith. Will you trust him tonight? Will you lean into him tonight? Will you ask him now to lead your life? Will you ask him now to live through you? Let's pray together. While you're praying there, just in the privacy of your own heart, if there's any way tonight in which you're living on your own, independent of Jesus, would you turn away from that? And would you tell Jesus, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to live this anyway anymore. Just tell him, using your own words. Would you trust him to live through you? Would you place your faith in him? Would you allow him to bring you the greatest joy and the deepest satisfaction you've ever known? And that is living a life for God here and now. He can do it. Will you trust him? Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you that you want to live in us and through us. We turn from our sin and we trust in you tonight. Lord Jesus, I pray if there's anyone in the room who's never met you, would you arrange that introduction tonight? May lives forever be changed and transformed because of who you are. In your good name, we pray together. Amen. I want to invite my friend Ryan to come now and share with you how Jesus has changed and transformed his life. Will you welcome Ryan with me?